I mean, what a great time of worship. Absolutely. Very encouraging, very exciting. But, you know, we have, as we have already mentioned through our worship time this morning, and as we have mentioned throughout for the last several weeks, we are coming into a new, different season within the church, a new semester of life groups, small groups. And I want to say this to you today, that this message, if you're a part of this church, some of you may, or if you're not a part of this church, rather, some of you may say, well, you know, I'm not sure that I received anything today. Yes, you will. I promise you this. Keep your minds open and your hearts receptive, because I believe that God is going to speak to you and maybe get just a little bit deeper into the subject matter. But I'm excited about being here today. You know what? I got my mom and dad with me today. And yes, it's because of me they are, okay? So that's what God intended anyway. That's what I like to think about, you know? But they've had a great time with us so far. You know, they've experienced the boys, the good part of the boys, which is usually the first 5 minutes in meeting them. After that, everything goes downhill fast. You know, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, I learned something this week. And like I mentioned before, as I was coming up here to introduce what we're going to talk about, what our primary focus is on today is relationships. You know, God designed us to be and want to be in and to be part of relationships. We are a people that have a strong hunger and desire for other people, believe it or not. You know, you're not as selfish as what maybe people have told you to be, all right, or have said that you are, because you do have a need within inside of you that wants to care and to be a part of other people's lives. You just can't get away from that. You know, this week I had something happen that was, you know, the first part of the week. It was pretty stressful on that Monday. And we were going through that time, and I picked up the phone and called somebody, a friend. And then that friend introduced me and said, call this other friend. And I called the other friend. And next thing you know, both friends show up. And not only do both friends show up, when they realized they couldn't find the quick answer for it, they called other friends. Next thing you know, the entire island was with me, all right, and helped us through a very difficult time. And I thought about that, and I said, you know why that is because of relationship. When you are involved within relationship, relationships help. Relationships bring a drive. They encourage. You know, we're in this we're in this sermon series called Fresh Air. This is the last part of it. I hope you guys have enjoyed it so far. But the first week, you know, we looked at the doldrums, understanding that we get into a place where there's no wind, there's no air that moves. It's breathless, it's lifeless. And that's a real place, because that's between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. And it's a spot where there is no wind. And whenever a boat or something gets caught in there, if it doesn't have a motor to propel it somewhere, it stays. And a lot of people have died within the doldrums. And a lot of people spiritually have also died within those same doldrums, where there's no life, there's no breath, there's nothing pushing you and encouraging you and feeding that hunger and desire and thirst that you might have. And, you know, the next week, so we were talking about that, and we were looking at what? We're looking at prayer. We broke down the Lord's Prayer, and understanding that the Lord's Prayer is not just something for us to repeat out of routine, because what routine oftentimes gets mundane and boring, does it not? You do something over and over and over again. After a while, it just becomes, I do it because I do it. And there becomes less meaning within it. Well, we understand that Matthew and Mark, Luke, and John, the disciples, were watching and observing Jesus pray. You know, it's okay to watch people pray. You can learn a lot by watching somebody pray. You can see where their heart is. You can see where the intimacy really dwells in. And so they were watching Jesus pray, and something snapped inside of one of them and said, you know what, hey, Jesus, we want to pray just like that. And so Jesus said, okay, this is how you do it. And that's how we end up with the Lord's Prayer. In that prayer is what? Seven different topics, seven different ways of things that we need to include within our prayer life. Like, Lord, not only forgive me, but God, help me to forgive people, because you will forgive me as much as I forgive others. When you think of it that way, that will definitely change your outlook, will it not, on people? Are you forgiving? Think about it. In that prayer, we understand that we are supposed to do what? Show love and adoration to God. Not just calling him God, but you know what? Father, Daddy. Because we know that we're in a relationship with him. He's all about relationship. We know Old Testament, we're considered what? Friends. Friends of God. Abraham was what? A friend of God. In the New Testament, because we've been adopted as sons and daughters, we are now part of the family of God. Not merely just a friend, but now we're in a stronger, more tight-knit intimacy relationship with him. Then week two, we looked really about what? Praise. Understanding that our praise needs to be exalted before him. Understanding that everything in our lives should be in some aspect a praise to God and God alone. In everything that we do, we also looked at what? There's seven different words within the scriptures that explain to us praise. And we broke those down and we looked at them. And one specific one, what? We looked at the symbol, did we not? Some of you haven't forgot that one. And then last week, we brought out the Bible, getting into the Bible, getting into the Word of God. Because we know that the Word is what? A living thing. It is not just another novel or an article that you might read online. It's full of wisdom and knowledge, yes, but it's also full of breath and wind that will propel your life. Without it, you will be in the doldrums spiritually. But with it, you won't be in it. And so we understand that sometimes we can get, what, bored of the Bible. Oh, I can't believe the pastor just said that. Yeah, we do. We go through the routine of it. We don't understand it. So we broke that down on how we can better educate ourselves and how we can understand that, what, we need revelation. We need those ah moments. We need those moments where we believe the Word, and that is through the faith and trust, which is trusting in the Word of God, that it's real. But today, we're going to look at and get into this series, what I would call into relationship. We're going to look at our theme verse that we've read for the last 3 weeks in 2 Timothy 1 and 16. I believe after today, you're really going to understand why this verse has been our theme verse. It says this: may the Lord bless Onesiphorus. First week, I butchered it, didn't I? Second week, I caught on to it. Third week, I got it. I've now mastered this name, all right? May the Lord bless Onesiphorus. I still sit there and think, why could they not just named him something much easier? You know, like John, you know? I mean, come on. All right. So may the Lord bless Onesiphorus and all his family. Now, right there, we understand that when we are being blessed, not only am I being blessed, but my wife's being blessed, my kids are being blessed. All right, so when we are blessed, it interacts with other people. So may the Lord bless Onesiphorus and all his family because he visited me and encouraged me often. Have you ever had that person in your life where they visited you and have encouraged you? That friend that was close to you, that man you look back on and you go, I don't know what I would have done in that season of life if it wasn't for them. We've all probably had a friend like that or two within our lives. And what I find amazing sometimes about these types of individuals is that they could really have no idea what you might be going through, but just them being around is an encouragement to you. Now let me ask you this. Are you like that to other people? But it says, who visited me and encouraged me often. His visits revived me like what? A breath of fresh air. That's been my hope this past month as we've gone through this topic, fresh air. You know, the Greek word there at the end really means to recover breath. Every place where you have lost your breath, we need fresh air back into it. We need fresh wind back into our sails. Here we are coming out of the summer season, where a lot of times we get caught up in so many different scheduled things, scheduled events, family gatherings, vacations, and oftentimes that can pull us away, and I hate to say this, but let's just face it, spiritually we get distracted. Those times where we devoted to God become less and less, or sometimes they just become none. Time to come to church becomes less and less, or sometimes just none. Why? Because our schedules get so hectic. And here we are, we're coming out of the summer season, and we're coming in to the fall, and some of you are amening that one, right? As long as we stay away from winter. Can we just have fall, then spring, skip winter altogether, you know what I mean? But I guess there's a reason for it all. God knows. I'm going to ask him one day. I'm going to be like, God, really? I mean, why? He's not going to answer, so it's no big deal. But you know, we're coming out of that season, and so this is why one of the reasons why we start life groups back up, small groups, because I believe in relationship. Relationship is a key for us in our intimacy with God and in our relationships with one another and how we can help and get involved. You know, today's topic has the potential, I believe, to put wind back into your sails just as the other three topics. The Bible addresses issues with fellowship, and I'm going to look at those with you this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together." Now, that's meeting together in a big sense like we are right now, but that's also meeting together what I believe is in the smaller scale. But it says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." In other words, this is what my definition of this scripture is. As we near the end of time, judgment day, life's just going to get tough. You're going to get more distracted. It's going to get tougher. Why? Because Satan knows if he can get within our schedules, he can get us. If he could distract us and pull us away from the things of God, the things, especially the what I call the spiritual disciplines, which are what? Reading the word, prayer, and fasting. So what my job today, I feel, is trying to convince you and bring this part of your Christian walk as a priority within your life. Because many of us, we do this, we walk alone. You go through this spiritual life walking alone. Some of you go through life in general walking alone. You know what I've noticed? I've observed this before. In a lot of times, that the Christian church or followers of Christ oftentimes are more alone spiritually, but when they get outside the doors of or the confines of the church, then they find themselves being a part of something, but not of the church. And what happens there, in my opinion, is we become distracted. We become infiltrated with things that are not of God, not of the plan, the purpose, and the will of Him. And we find excuses for this. Now, why do we walk alone? Why is it that we do? Well, let's take a look. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8 says, "There was a man all alone." Now, this message is dedicated to the person who probably has people all around them, but still yet feels alone or even disconnected. But he says, "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother." This isn't speaking of the literal son or brother, all right? It's not speaking of the literal here like we would in a family sense, all right? But it says, "He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil." You know, God never intended us to be alone. That was never His intent. He created us to long and yearn for relationship. He goes on to say, "Yet His eyes were not content with His wealth." You can have everything in the worldly aspect of all things. You can have all the wealth. You can have the reputation. All right? You can have the finest of the fine. But if you lack relationship, you will struggle spiritually within your life. Relationship is so key for you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. I need you as well as you need me. Now, I can go out here and find all the relationships I want, but chances are I'm going to find a lot of toxic relationships. But when I'm in the body of Christ and I allow relationship to be a part of it, it's a win-win situation for us. I win and you win. Why? Because there's strength when we come together as the body of Christ. I believe a relationship outside the body can be defective, but a relationship within the body is extremely effective for your spiritual well-being. So why do we walk alone? Why do we find ourselves from time to time going through life, especially spiritually, all alone? Here are some reasons. I got them down for you. Number one is this. Nevity. I didn't think I needed it. I never took the time to build meaningful relationships. Some of us like to do things all on our own labor. I'm a loner. Have you ever heard those excuses before? Have you ever given an excuse like that before? Watch this. Here's a story. I found this story. It's kind of funny. Muhammad Ali, when he was in the prime of his career, he was on a flight, and the sign came on while he was on the flight to buckle up. Well, he wasn't going to do it. And the flight attendant came across him and said, "Sir, you're going to need to buckle your seatbelt." His response to her was that Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. Her response, well, Superman doesn't need an airplane either, so you're going to buckle up. Some of us, that's pretty good, isn't it? Some of us, not all, actually all of us, we have that type of attitude many times. You can't handle this life without people speaking into it. Your view is not always the right view. Look at your spouse and tell them, no, I'm just kidding, don't do that, right? We need people, what? Speaking into our lives, and it's not enough for us to go through this life all alone. Second one here is this, temperament. Here we go. I'm not an outgoing person. Well, that's false with me because I'm extremely outgoing, right? But this is this type of person. I am not an outgoing person. I don't feel comfortable. That's just the way I am. Have you ever heard that one? That's just the way I am. My response to you is you still need this. We will go through insecurity and temperament, and it's time to move past these things. It's critically important for your spiritual life. The third one here is fear. You know, sometimes fear can be faceless. We have created things within our minds that we think will happen, and honestly, they never end up happening. We have created fears that have never existed in your situation, and it's caused you to not allow relationship to be in it. Let's break this down for a second. If you find someone who's gone through a really bad marriage and gone through a very difficult divorce, chances are you'll have a conversation with them and say, "Do you think you're ever going to get married again?" And their response is going to be this: "Ain't no way that's happening." Why? Because they've already developed a fear within their mind of how it's going to fail again. We can't do that. We were designed for what? Relationship. You've got to allow these fears that have no meaning, to be gone. And watch this. Our prayer should be, "Lord, show me where I'm making this stuff up. Show me what is not real, so that I can pursue after the relationships that you've intended for my life." Now watch this. That leads us into this one, past experiences. You've been hurt, maybe through a brother, a father, a sister, a mom. You've been wounded, right? The incident really hurt. So what do? You build walls around. We build things up to keep people out. What you're doing is building walls out and keeping, or building walls up and keeping blessings out. If I were to do a poll here through this congregation right now, through you, and I said, do you want to live a blessed life? I would like to think 100% of you would say yes. But for some of you, it's impossible to, because you've allowed walls to be built up, and it's encountered, or rather hindered, the ability for God to pour out the blessings into you, because you won't allow relationship or people to be a part of your life. Here we go. This one is epidemic, I believe. It's messing with our minds constantly, within relationships, especially within the church, and even within your health, and it is this: busyness. We have allowed society and the world around us to set our agendas. We will say yes to everything it wants to do. Friends, school, jobs, our neighborhoods. Everybody wants a meeting, including the church. Everybody wants a meeting. And what does it do? It separates us from the relationships possibly that God is intending for your life. We have gotten to the point that we have said yes to so much that the things that should be important have become neglected. Think about this. Analyze your schedule quickly. You can do that within your head. Look at the stuff that you have going on. most of which probably does not contribute and prioritize what should be the most important things within your life, and that's relationships. Your life would be what? Much better if you made relationships, not meetings or events, to be the top of it. I'm going to quote Chuck Swindoll here for a minute. He says this, nobody is a whole team. I'm just going to repeat that phrase for a second here so you can let that set in. Nobody is a whole team. We need each other. You need someone and someone needs you. Isolated islands, we are not. To make this thing called life work, you've got to learn and support, relate and respond, give and take, confess and forgive, reach out and embrace. Since none of this as whole, independent, self-sufficient, super capable, all-powerful hotshots, let's quit acting like we are. Life is lonely enough without playing the silly games. That game is over. God never intended for you to walk this life alone. And I believe that all of us in this room could deep down understand that. You would love to know that there are people around you that really care. Why do you think companies such as, watch this, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat are so successful and sought after? Why do you think bars and other types of gatherings are so intentional? Because people long for the atmosphere to be loved, appreciated, and accepted. And they find it in these environments. We, as a church here, our church is giving an alternate to all of this. Small groups, life groups, allowing these gatherings, these spots where we can come together and allow God to bring life into us. You know, I've had several people come to me and say, Pastor, I've been praying for you. I'm praying for you. Do you know how encouraging that is for me? To know that someone is praying for me specifically. Because there's times that I go throughout my week and I go, God, I'm lacking in you right now, but I know somebody's lifting me up. I know someone's lifting me up. Do you know where you also get that? Within those groups where people are lifting one another up in prayer. Now, we're going to look at here this morning four aspects of a person's life. The first one is the only one that gets revealed, but we still have other areas. And here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at these. We're going to look at the arena, the mask, the blind spots, and the potential. And we're going to define them. So the first one is this, the arena. This is I know and you know. Watch this. If you've never met me before, you have sat here this morning and you have already begun to know who I am. You know that I'm a pastor. You know I'm a husband. You know I'm a father of boys. Why? Because I've already relayed all of that to you. The arena is simple. That is the I know and you know aspect of my life. It is the part that you see. But unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to take it, there's also a part of me that you will never see. But why do I need this part? Why do I need the arena in me? Is this, I need people who really know me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? There's a part of every person that you cannot see. And we all need someone that really knows us. You know, like I said, I find it great joy when somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm praying for you every day. Why? Because someone genuinely cares. What is my responsibility to those who I'm close to within my sphere of influence? To care for them, to love them, to what? Pray over them. Now, I believe within the life group and small groups that we are promoting here at the church, you get this type of relationship in it. People that you can stand with. You know, this past semester that we had life groups, toward the end of it, I had an individual come up to me and they said, Pastor, I just want to let you know, I really love life groups. And I really hate that the semester is coming to an end because this is something that keeps me grounded and rooted. And I know that I'm surrounded by people who love me. If you've never experienced that before, I want you to experience it. It will change your life. Secondly, this is what we do. We wear a mask. I know, but you don't know. This is big. A lot of people go through this. I've got some stuff with inside of me that you will never find out. Why? Because I'm going to wear a mask. We have this side of us that no one else knows what's going on the other side of that mask. I will, what, take this to the grave. No one will ever find out. There's a side of me. Watch, I heard a story of a pastor. He was on a mission trip. And this pastor was out on the mission trip, and he was with his church, a group from his church. And so he was out there with them and having a great time, but he needed to get back to his church earlier than the rest of the group. So he had a flight to go back home. So he is with the group, and he decides it's time for him to get to the airport. So he departs from them and to go find a cab. So he leaves the group, and he finds and he waves down a cab, and he goes to get into the cab. Well, when he goes to get into the cab, the leader of the group, of the mission group, the person that stays in that country, was waving his arms going, "Pastor, pastor, I need you." And the pastor looked at him and said, no, I got to go. I've got to catch my flight. He's like, "No, I really got to talk to you. This is extremely important." And the pastor's arguing with him back and forth. And finally, the guy said, "I need you now." So the pastor left the cab and walks over to him. And the person takes him aside and says, "That's not a cab. That person's going to take you and he's going to kill you." We need people watching over us in our lives. We need people who can see what we don't see to give leading and guidance. Environments that maybe they're more familiar with than you are. Going through things that you've never gone through before can be very scary. But when you're with someone who's gone through it before, they can give you leading, guidance, and direction to be that encouragement in your life. So how do I do this? I need someone who will protect me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 says this: "We refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say it out in the open." I believe that is so important for us not to allow. Have you ever met somebody who just keeps everything bottled in? Eventually, what happens? There's an explosion, isn't there? Have you ever been there? Absolutely, right? We have been there. I knew a pastor one time, I was with a group, he let everything out. He's like, "Guys, I've been wearing a mask for a very long time. A mask that I'm ashamed of, a mask that I would not let anybody else in. And one day I got to the point where I was about to explode. And I realized that I couldn't go in through life anymore living like this." And so he found himself within a group that he had an accountability partner, somebody that he could confide in. And he goes, "You know what helped me was confiding in that person and that person being my rock while I was going through it, keeping me strong." You know, we all have things in this room that we're not proud of. We have those habitual sins. We have those things that we look at and we go, "Man, I wish my life would not get tripped up by this stuff over and over and over and over again." And what we will do is we will become so ashamed and so embarrassed that we will keep it hidden. A lot of people die in the doldrums, don't they? A lot of people die in the place where they need the most help because they were too afraid and ashamed to reach out and ask for it. Watch this. James chapter 5. Actually, I'm going to quote this one to you for real quick. I don't have this scripture. But 1 John 1:9, we understand that we are to, when we come before God, we ask for forgiveness of our sin. And God does what? Forgives us. But watch this. In James 5 and 16, it says this: "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be" what? "Healed." There's a difference between being forgiven for something and then being forgiven and healed from something. Say, "Pastor, I don't feel comfortable sharing my story. I don't feel comfortable just going to a group and then spitting it out." I don't either. That's why I build relationship with someone first, someone that what I can trust and know. And then what? Sharing what I'm going through with them and being helped. You know what? I've got several of you within this church that even as your pastor, I have reached out to you at different times and been vulnerable and showed you where I'm lacking. And you've been an encouragement to me. I also have several pastor friends that, guess what? Get a routine phone call. And they also give what? A routine phone call. And this is what we're struggling through. This is what we're going through. And why do we do that? Because I can't live this life on my own. I can't go through the struggles of being a pastor on my own without other fellow pastors being with me. I can't go living this life spiritually on my own without having accountability from another brother or sister to what? Strengthen and to help me. Because I don't want to just live a life that's forgiven. I want you to live a life that's not only forgiven, but you are also healed in it. You know, I heard a guy one time say, you know what? I struggle with pornography and I have a problem with this sexual sin. And he said, so I reached out to my friend who I built an accountability with. And that friend took my phone, took my computer, and he put all these blocks on it so that I could not get into the stuff and become a problem for my life. In fact, the friend, when I go on business trips, routinely calls me to make sure that I'm staying straight. You see why a relationship is important? You need it. You might need it on a different area, but we all need these relationships within our lives. Why? To keep us strong and healthy spiritually. Here we go. Let's look at number three. We all have blind spots. Spots that I don't know, but you know. This is kind of like the spinach in the teeth, right? You know what I'm talking, or the hanger. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you need somebody to point something out that's not working right for you. All right, it's funny. You'll sit there, you'll eat at an Olive Garden or somewhere like that. People take their fork or their knife, and they're like, you know, or watch this. I'm taking a selfie. You're looking for that spinach. You're looking for that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Listen, there's plenty of things that you get. Some of you are elbowing each other. I see it, you know. Like right now, you got like a donut stuck right there, you know. Coffee grind. You need to get rid of that, you know. Why is that important? Because I need people to point out what I'm doing wrong. I do. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. My wife today. I think you need to cut some hair on top. You got too much product in there. That hurt my feelings. I was like, so you know what I'm going to do next week? I'm going to get the top of it cut or shave it. No, I'm just kidding. You know, we need people to speak into our lives. There's things about you that you have gotten so used to that you've gone through, things that have become the routine. Or how about what? The calloused sin where you're numb to it now? That you think it's okay because you've done it for so long, but you've got a friend that's going, I just don't like that. I don't think that lines up with what God's plan is for your life. You know, I'm not talking about the critic that's in your face and barking at you all the time. I'm talking the one that loves you, that friend that says, you know what, man, look, this I don't think this is healthy for you. I don't think that's good for your marriage. I don't think that's good for your kids. I think maybe you need to relook at this. You know, we need that type of relationship. We need people to be honest with us or with me. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says this. Faithful, that's speaking of the friend that says stop whatever you're doing. But it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You're like, a friend's not supposed to wound me. If they're a friend, they will wound you. Because you need to be wounded sometimes. I hear plenty of you say, Pastor, you really stepped on my toes today. Well, that's great. I'm glad I did. But I need your friends to step on your toes too. You need your friends to step on your toes. Why is that important? Where do you get that? I'm going to be honest. We're talking about groups. It's in groups where you can build these relationships. I love it. Here we go. Number four. Last one, potential. I don't know and you don't know. So if I don't know and you know don't know, then who knows? God. He has a plan for you to find your potential when you get together within the body of Christ. There's nothing like it. Being together within a group, sitting in an atmosphere like we are today. There's a Zambian proverb that says this: when you run alone, you will run fast, but when you run together, you will run far. I like that. You know, I have a friend that speaks into my life sometimes, and he drives me crazy. And he really does it to get on my nerves, too. I know he does. His name is Tom Derrickson is his name. And if I don't make, see, I only get to go to the gym like twice a week because my wife's schedule, our schedules. And if I miss it, he's like, yeah, you're not there. You're not, where are you doing now? You know, where you at, Pastor? You're not at the gym. And you know what happens now when I wake up and I know she's home? The first person I think about, Tom Derrickson. That's messed up, man. But that's a friendship. You know, where potential is there, he sees it. I know it's there. I see it, but I need God involved in it. You know, the more you connect with the body of Christ, the more you're going to grow. I need people who will grow me. I need people who are going to grow with me as well. Proverbs chapter 27, 17 says, I love this scripture. This has become one of my go-tos here of recent, and it is this: as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We have to have each other. You can't go through this spiritual life alone and by yourself. I'm closing, guys. You can't go through it all by yourself. You have to have people. You know, there's another scripture. It comes from Proverbs 18. 24. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. What that means is that's having many acquaintances. A lot of acquaintances. We all have acquaintances. We have people that I know them, but don't really know them. You know what I'm saying? Some of us in here, we're acquaintances. I know you, but I really don't know you. Some of you are acquaintances within this room. You have acquaintances outside of this church. People that you know of them and they know of you, but you really don't know one another. But you know what? That's not enough. It says a man of many acquaintances may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know? We need a place, watch this, where everybody knows your name. You need a place where everybody knows your name. The most important decision that you will ever make in your life is a relationship decision. I want you to stand with me this morning. I told you it was a different type of message. It was about promoting a ministry within our church because I think it's a very key ministry. I think it's one that will be a catalyst for this church, but most importantly, will be a catalyst for you spiritually. I'm going to ask this question. Who in this room wants to grow spiritually within your life? Raise your hand. Purposely, I'm asking it. Yeah. All across this room, you can put them down. You want to grow. You know what's frustrating is when you give somebody tools to accomplish something, but yet they never take the tools to use it, and what they were looking to accomplish, what, never gets accomplished? Tools are being given to you. God has given you the tools. Look all around you. You see them all within this room. God has placed people in your life for a reason. And it's not just to see them once a week in church, but it's to grow together, to form relationship. The most important thing that we could ever do within our life is relationship. And who's that relationship with? Well, obviously, as that scripture says, there's a relationship that we have that's closer than a brother. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we have nothing. Without him, we are nothing. This whole thing about groups is great only if you have Jesus. I need encouragement every day of my life. I love groups. I've done study groups. I've done activity groups. I'm looking forward to the next group. And every time I walk away from it, I do walk away encouraged in some way. It was enlightening. It was fun. It was fun to talk. Hey, it's fun to eat. Even if it's salad. Relationships are important, man. God has designed us for that. So don't fight it. The greatest relationship you can have is Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see Jesus' ministry, and we see within Jesus' ministry that he kept a close circle of friends around him because he needed them, believe it or not. He needed them. If God needed a sphere of influence, do you not think you don't need it also? Absolutely. Jesus himself kept himself around people to help him spiritually and physically, emotionally, psychologically, because he needed that relationship. He longs for it. I'm going to ask this question, every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you feel that urge within inside of you, that would be the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart, saying, today's the day, let's do this now. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't experience this level of relationship that I've talked about today. It's absolutely impossible. But I want to make it possible in your life. I want you to be able to walk away today going, you know what? Today is a new day. Today is great. Today I'm accepting Jesus Christ into my life, and I'm going to allow this message to be a part of who I am. I'm going to take part in a group. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, I don't know who Jesus is, but I want to make that commitment to him today. I want to be saved. Today's the day of salvation. If that's you in this room today, all I want you to do is just slip up that hand across this room. And you could say, yes, Lord, today is a day of salvation in my life. And then here's what I'm going to do. This is a weird one because this is a different type of message. This isn't a message of a spiritual growth here and now, right now, moment. This is a message that's going to be a spiritual growth that's going to build through time and relationship. You know, there's some things that just don't happen right away. Most things that are valued, what? Take time to form and to happen and to grow and to mold together. And I don't believe this is a message that's just going to ignite you instantly. But this is one that my prayer is that it just begins to resonate within your heart, your spirit, your soul, your mind, to where you go, I'm longing for this more and more. I just don't want to just come to church. I want to be a part of it. I want to form relationship in it. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to say a prayer corporately over all of us, that God would just allow us to bring those walls down that have separated us, not allowing relationships to be built. That we would understand that I can't do this all on my own. That, watch this, it's not just who I am. The devil has put that in your head. The enemy is trying to tell you that's just who you are as an excuse as to why you're not getting involved in building relationships within the body of Christ. I want more of God in your life. And when I ask that question, I believe almost every hand went up that said, yeah, I want to grow spiritually. This is your prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here today, to be a part of this great service, to have a great time together. We thank you for your word that's gone out, Lord, to help us to grow relationally with one another, Lord, so that we can grow in you. Help us to understand, God, that we need each other. We can't do this thing called life all by ourselves, but we must have relationship. Not only with you, but God, within the body of Christ. So help all of us today to begin to open ourselves to this concept, to begin to open ourselves to understanding what groups is all about, and allowing you, Father, Lord, to form these things naturally, Father. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. You are the number one relationship that we need to have. So, Father, as we leave here today, we will allow your relationship with you to grow, and you will then, Lord, allow it to grow with one another. But, Father, it's our prayer, the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And Lord, let every offering, tithing given to you today be used to continue to grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. We will see you all tonight at the beach.